fundamentally, first port of call, the thing that we turn to, the thing that we train our mind to do instinctively, the moment we start to feel unsettled, the moment we start to feel afraid, we get our mind to turn to this. And in fact, we want our mind to turn to this always, always be turned to this. And what is that? It's a practice that we call refuge. And refuge means protection, doesn't it? You know, a refuge is somewhere we go for shelter. If there's someone in an abusive relationship, they go to a refuge. Those little bits of concrete in the middle of roads where we can cross half the road and get to, that's called a refuge island. In tall buildings, they have floors which are refuge floors. That's where you run to in the case of a fire, because it's designed to be safe in a fire. Refuge. Refuge. In Buddhism, refuge means turning our heart, tuning in to the blessings of enlightened beings. Now, we're not the first to try and do these meditations. There are people who've trained in these meditations and perfected them and have this ability. So that if we tune in, connect through the force of the exchange that happens there, through the force of blessings, our fears can just disappear. Our mind comes to peace. It isn't possible to feel in the presence of Buddha and continue to have an uncomfortable mind. It isn't possible. It isn't possible to stay feeling anxious whilst at the same time genuinely believing I am in the living presence, the presence of living Buddha. Those two states of being are completely contradictory. There's a passage that Geshe-la includes in the chapter on taking and giving, where he says, even when the sun is shining, if our house is shuttered, only a little light can enter, and our house will remain cold and dark. But if we open the shutters, the warm rays of the sun will come pouring in. Similarly, even though the sun of Buddha's blessings is always shining, if our mind is shuttered by our lack of faith, few blessings can enter, and our mind will remain cold and dark. But by developing strong faith, our mind will open, and the full sun of Buddha's blessings will come pouring in. Faith is the life force of spiritual practice. So tuning in. You know, this room, this temple, your room, wherever you are, is pervaded by song. And probably we can't hear them. But if we were to bring in a radio, tune it to the right frequency, suddenly our room is filled with all of those songs. In the same way, Buddha is everywhere. Buddha is in front of you. Buddha is at your crown. Buddha is in your heart. Buddha is everywhere. And if we tune in, like opening the shutters and the windows of our house to the sun, that sunshine pours in. Now, of course, this may be unfamiliar. Now, obviously, for the Buddhists that are tuning in, we know this is so beautiful. We know how much strength and peace this gives us. But if you're not used to this, if you're sort of more agnostic atheist or you're a little bit unsure of this, and a lot of people are, you know, our society is increasingly secular and we're, you know, quite apprehensive of seemingly religious sorts of things. What I would say is try it. Now, what have we got to lose? Now, if you're here, if you've listened all the way to this point, then that indicates that we're interested. We want another approach to dealing with our anxiety. And I promise you this works. Absolutely, categorically, we tune in to the Supreme Being, Buddha. Connect, feel the living presence of this Buddha, and everything changes in our heart. And what we're doing here, there's a little bit of subtlety to this, because we're not asking Buddha to change the circumstances of our life. We're not giving Buddha a shopping list saying, well, actually, what I need is a bigger bank balance, a more attractive partner, a better job, a nicer house, and this and this. We're not giving Buddha a shopping list. We're asking for his help to draw out the qualities of our mind. Now, Buddhism starts with an acknowledgement of suffering. Buddha's first teaching, the Four Noble Truths, starts with, you should know suffering. You should know suffering. That's where Buddhism starts. It starts with taking an unflinching look at the challenges that are inherent to the kind of life we're leading. In Sutra Addressed to a King, Buddha says, aging is like an immovable mountain. Decay is like an immovable mountain. Sickness is like an immovable mountain. Death is like an immovable mountain. These things can't be moved. They are intrinsic, inherent to the kind of life we're leading. There is no point in thinking, I don't want to experience these things, because we're going to. So we're not praying to Buddha saying, please don't let me get sick. Please don't let me die. Please don't let me get old. Please let me stay youthful and attractive and vigorous. And that's not what we're saying to Buddha. We're saying, help me stay peaceful. Help me find acceptance. Help my heart stay open and compassionate. Help me. And that's tuning in. Tuning in. Help me. We're aligning what we're trying to do with what Buddha has already done for the purpose of helping us to be able to do the same. We're trying to walk in Buddha's footsteps. He's made the path, and he's going to help us follow that path. We're not trying to do something impossible. We're not praying for the unrealistic. Please let me never grow old. Please let me never die. Please let me never... That's not what we're praying. Like, Buddhism starts with the acknowledgement. Of course we're going to age and get sick and pass away, and so will our loved ones. And of course, these are fundamental truths. But they're not facts that have to make us unhappy. They're not circumstances that must disturb us. There is a way to be at peace at all times and in all situations. Buddha found that peace. And we can tune into it. We can connect with Buddha. And he shares his peace with us. It's like we see through his eyes and we feel through his heart.